Well, hey there. It's October 10th, 2007, and this is Deb, the Horoscope Lady, asking you, as I do every week, do you know where your planets are? You might think you know where they are based on the tropical zodiac, but I will argue with you down to the last moment, if I can stop laughing here, that the sun is at still in Virgo, 23 degrees or 24 degrees, depending on which zodiac that you're using, but against the backdrop of the sky, it's in Virgo as well as the moon. The moon's there. It's a almost a new moon. It'll be in another day or so. The Mercury is in Libra. Jupiter is in Scorpio. Pluto, it just got to Sagittarius. Neptune is in Capricorn. Uranus is in Aquarius with the North Node. Mars is in Gemini and will be there for an awfully long time. We'll talk about that in a minute. Venus is in Leo, Saturn is in Leo, and the South Node is in Leo. And if that sounds all too technical for you, we'll back that all down. I do want to, we're going to spend some time today talking about the upcoming Mercury retrograde. And most people who are not astrologers, that's one thing they have heard of. We had a wonderful guest on. I've had her on two times now, Valerie Lemmy. She is a sidereal astrologer in New Jersey. And Ken Bowser also has been on the show, and they have both said, you know, retrogrades are not as bad as everyone says they are if you would just calm down and see what the aspects are. So I want to challenge everyone, if you'd like to do your own experiment coming up, and actually to start a project during Mercury retrograde. Pay attention, because what most people have said is that, you know, things do not go any more wrong, do not go any more, aren't any more difficult, they don't break down any more often during these retrograde periods. And other people, of course, say, oh my gosh, you know, that's the last time in the world I would buy a car or take a plane flight or sign up for lessons or all kinds of things. But, you know, that can kind of get in the way of living. If you've got business to do, you still have to do business. If your car breaks down, which is frequently, people will say, I didn't get my car fixed. I'm like, oh, for heaven's sakes, you know, it obviously needs to be fixed. Use the retrograde for that. Get that fixed. Redo your files. Redo things. Go back and redo things. Let me talk for a minute. Okay, October 12th is when it officially starts going retrograde. Now, I will tell you, my experience has been that electronic equipment and also some mechanical equipment, certainly anything in the printing field, does tend to have more mistakes or more glitches, more problems during a Mercury retrograde period. Does that mean you shouldn't use your car or use your computer or, you know, whatever else you need to use? Absolutely not. You've got to use those things. What you may want to do is be more cautious about it. And what you, I know people are not supposed to, in this politically correct age, say ought to do or should do, which kind of cracks me up because, anyway, it's just fun to notice for yourself instead of taking everybody else's word for it. So what I'm going to suggest strongly that you do is starting today, even though today is the 10th, we're certainly in the influence, most astrologers would say, of Mercury being retrograde. It will start on the 12th. It will go all the way to November 2nd. And sidereally, so if you have a tropical chart, this isn't going to work. Sidereally, it's going to go from 15 Libra to 29 Virgo. So if you have any planets there that you know of, then you are going to have more of an impact than someone who has nothing that's connected with any of those degrees in any way, shape, or form. But what I would invite everybody to do is deliberately start something new during this time period. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be, certainly life-changing, even though if you're planning to start something, you know, just go ahead and start it. And notice, is it, you know, how that rolls along. Does it fail? Do you have more problems than what you expected? Does it have different results? Not necessarily problems, but does it have different results than what you expected? And keep track of this for your own sake, because this is the best way to learn stuff. It's great to hear people who are experienced, particularly people who are experienced, not just people that enjoy talking about it. It is, you know, I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. You do not have to reinvent the wheel. That is to say, you know, if a process is already done, you don't have to go back and redo that exact same process. But when somebody comes and says, man, you know, don't sign, don't buy, don't start anything new, don't take a plane trip, I kind of want to know, well, is this just something with them, or does this have to do with me? And it is one of the things, because so many of us are so ready to say, okay, well, you know, it's in print somewhere, so it must be true, that people that do not follow astrology or any of the typical topics discussed here on BBS Radio tend to, shake their fingers at us and say, what is wrong with you all? Which is what got me going on this in the first place. I was at a party this past weekend. It was a nice, you know, somebody, a friend of mine, turning 50. We had a nice barbecue in the backyard and lots of interesting people, terrific amounts of food, which was nice. The weather was beautiful. And I was introduced as to what I do, and, you know, she's written a book, and, you know, the people hosting the party are certainly open-minded to all kinds of things. He's an engineer, lots of engineer friends. You might know where this is going. And some of them looked at me like, oh, but you look like such a sane person. You look like such a nice lady. And I'm like, well, I am a nice lady. And I said, tell you what, Mercury's going to be retrograde next week. And they're like, oh, for heaven's sakes, what's that? I'm like, well, you know, and some of them actually knew astronomically what it was, okay, that it appears to be going backwards in the sky. And I said, I don't do the doom and gloom thing. Matter of fact, I think it's a wonderful time if you have something in your own personal chart where you need to learn stuff or go back and relearn something, retrain yourself something, because maybe the applications have changed or the software has changed and you have to relearn something. Okay, that's a terrific way to use that. But I said, I bet you dollars to donuts, you start noticing glitches in either electronic equipment or communications more so than usual. So I said, you know, if you guys are up for it, notice over the next 3 weeks how many problems you have, you know, with this. And then notice for the following 3 weeks, do you have the same kind of problems? And I said, you can keep going out with this. I'll let you know the Mercury retrograde time periods, or I don't have to let you know the Mercury retrograde time periods. And what ended up happening was two of the guys agreed to do this for a year. And they did not want to know. They did not want to be suggested, you know, when these Mercury retrograde time periods were, to go out for a year. And every time, which is a lot of work, but I give them full marks for doing this, every time they're delayed on a plane or that they notice that they are delayed on the subway trains going into work, and there's a lot of delays, you know, kind of saying non-personal things, every time there is a communication, there's a mistake at work because of communications large enough for it to cause a problem, then they're going to, you know, write that down. And they said, you know, a year later, you know, when it's this gentleman's birthday again, you know, we all gather around the fire pit, so to speak, they'll have the results, you know, and is it, you know, does this hold up or does it not hold up? Do they have other time periods which are just as many problems come up, or do no problems come up at all? So it got me thinking, you know, why not? And I know for myself, I've certainly been doing this long enough, and I have seen people, there's a young man, he's a producer of another radio show that I do, and he took the job. He was hired. He was interviewed before Mercury retrograde last year, and then retired right as Mercury retrograde began, started still during the Mercury retrograde, 2 weeks later, and he is still there. He's doing a great job. However, his experience has been it is completely different from what he thought it was going to be. He's got completely different job responsibilities than what they told him he was going to have. I mean, everything about the job, he's still a producer, but everything about the job which he expected is completely different. Now, this is not bad, but it's been a slow learning curve, which, you know, he's a smart guy, and he's catching on. You know, he's continually caught on. But there are days you walk in, he's just shaking his head, absolutely shaking his head. And I think that's a very typical retrograde type of experience where people are speaking very legitimately on both sides, but they're not speaking the same language. Or things come up that neither one could have even thought to ask the questions to have them answered in that way. So I invite absolutely anyone and everyone out there, if you want to, between October 12th and November 2nd, get something new, pick something new, you know, buy a new piece of equipment you've been looking for, you know, nothing too expensive, and just see, do you have problems with it, or is it a breeze from the get-go? Is it everything you expected it to be? And then you can call back, and either during or after the Mercury retrograde experience, and say, Deb, you know, this, why in the world did I listen to you? Or, man, I'm so glad I did, because this wasn't as horrible as I thought it was going to be, as everybody told me it was going to be. And then you can kind of get on and, you know, have a life again and keep on living, which is nice. And that'll show up in different places in people's lives, but for the most part, it always shows up again in electronics or printing or communications, something along those lines. I received a lot of emails. I mean, a lot of emails and actually a couple of phone calls. I had answered someone's email, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, mentioning she was asking me about gambling and astrology. And I got a lot of emails on that. And so I would like to go over some of the principles, what I know about it and some of the principles. And with a caveat of, you know, it's like, you know, I don't want anyone to go out and take their life savings and go to Las Vegas or something silly and just, like, drop it all on one horse or something or one big old lottery number. Even if with Mercury not being retrograde or anything else being retrograde, it just does not show good sense kind of thing. I will tell you how I got involved with using astrology for gambling purposes years and years ago. And please, if anyone has a question about their own chart, they're welcome to call in, either about gambling or Mercury retrograde or anything else. And the toll-free number here is 877-876-5227 here on BBS America. That's BBS Radio in America. And I think there might be a slightly different number from Canada, which, of course, you can see on the website. All right. Years and years and years ago, because I do, do I like gambling? I do like gambling, but I like winning better. The gambling implies that, you know, it can come out either way. And, yes, there's a certain amount of excitement to it, but, you know, I like roller coasters. That's kind of nice for excitement. I don't need to do that with my money. Years ago, this lovely lady called Joyce Wehrman, and some of you may remember her, she lived in California. And she was one of the few astrologers who proved her astrology with gambling, because she said, if this works and I make money at it, then it works. You know, that just, you know, all it just seemed very cut and dry to her. And she would, and she did spend a great deal of time, but also money, betting on times when, you know, if she didn't have aspects hitting or outside, so she lost money as well as won money to, I guess, prove the system, you know, what worked and what didn't work. And she wrote a book, which is long since out of print. It was actually kind of more of a booklet. It wasn't very thick. And then there was a very sweet lady over here on the East Coast, lived in Bowie, Maryland, who always loved playing the ponies and also the numbers, the lottery numbers here in Maryland. They would go up and, you know, buy them at correct times. Also does very well with the stock market. And how she works it is when her broker called her, she always had running on one computer the moving clock. And so if it was a good time when he called her, that's what she would base buying the stocks on, which is more of an intuitive kind of thing as opposed to looking at the birth time of stocks, which is what several professional astrologers do nowadays. All right, so back with gambling. And I said, part of me just hesitates on this because I know, you know, some people just, you know, it's that get-rich-quick thing. And, yes, that is possible, and it's a fun thought. It's a terrifically fun thought. But that can't be your only plan, you know, to go ahead, you know, and I had some very strong emails indicating people thought, you know, that was their only, you know, possibility at real success. And I would tell you that, it's not. It's you know, success comes from something else. But anyway, okay. You have to have an accurate birth chart to begin with. And you have to have an accurate watch. If you're going to bet on the ponies, you have to make sure the clock at the track is actually the correct time. And if it's not, you must adjust so for the clock on the track. Okay, that seems like common sense things, but it is very timing-oriented. And it is almost tedious. She used tropical. This lady was a tropical astrologer, and she used the Koch house system. I have had equal luck using Lahiri Sidereal using the Campanis house system. I've had, and what you're looking for are the cusps of the fifth house and the ninth house specifically, but also the tenth and the second houses. And what the idea is, you wait until a planet gets to either conjunct, square, or opposition one of those cusps within 15 minutes. And when I say minutes, I don't mean clock minutes. I mean minutes of degree. So if it's a slow-moving planet, you've got a long time period. If it is a quick-moving planet, you might literally have, you know, 5 minutes or whatever. I mean, just a very short, you know, it's like, okay, I've got to purchase this then. You also need the latitude and longitude. Now, I'm not talking about horse races. I'm talking about, you know, blackjack or roulette wheels or something like that, of where you're going to be gambling as well, or if you're buying lottery, where the lottery is drawn. Not necessarily the state capital, but where it is drawn. Now, please do not email me saying, gee, I want you to do this for me, and not supply me with any information, because I'm going to say, gee, I'd like if somebody did all that for me, too. What I would suggest for people who are interested in doing this, until you can get a real feel of where your chart is, again, you get yourself a little booklet or electronically, put it on your Palm Pilot, whatever it is you want to do. And when you go out and you buy a scratch ticket, or if you are going horse racing, or if you're going some, you know, whatever it is you're doing, playing cards with a friend is probably the best way to get started. And play a game like poker or whisk or something that's very quick. And you can play for chips. You don't have to play for money. You just play for chips and have an accurate time. And it's like, okay, I won then. I didn't win then. I won this hand. I didn't win then. And you'll notice runs. I mean, all gamblers do. They notice runs that they're winning or not winning. And you make an accurate record for this. Now, what Joyce Wehrman did when she wanted to rectify somebody's birth time, and someone who was interested in gambling, she insisted that they sit down and play a card game, you know, with themselves or, you know, with a group of people, and write down when you won, when you didn't, when you won, when you didn't, over and over and over again. If you have a whole night of not winning, that's just as valid as a whole night of winning, because then you find out what's not good. And look at what was rising, what degrees were rising at the time, look where the planets were, and you can start getting to the point where you can rectify somebody's chart like this. So this is what she used. This was her system. I use other things, but this is for gambling. And for those of you who are interested, this is what she did. And you make a record. You always make a record, and you keep it. It is complete folly, and I have seen people do this over the years. We used to have, it was an offshoot of the Astrological Association of Northern Virginia that would get together once a month just to discuss gambling charts. You know, those of us who enjoy gambling, we got and discussed that. And that was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot. And I learned actually a lot about human nature as much as anything else, because, you know, we say, okay, this must be a good time, we'll say, for this one lady to gamble. And she would say, okay, is this a good time? Yes, this is a good time. This is when you won before. And she would go out and, you know, there'd be these excuses as to why she couldn't go right at that time, you know, to go buy a scratch ticket. Well, if you're supposed to be buying a scratch ticket at 6:30 at night, what the heck are you going at 6 p.m. for? You know, yours hasn't come up. Or why are you going, there were places that had pinpointed, okay, if you're going to, you know, be around here, you can go bet on horses either in West Virginia or down towards Williamsburg at the Downs or over in Bowie in Maryland. And, you know, go ahead and do the latitude and longitude, you know, best time for Bowie, Maryland. And she decided to go to West Virginia that day and wonder why she didn't win. So, I mean, with some people, you just kind of wonder, you know, where the self-sabotage is coming in. Or do they just like to prove things wrong for themselves all the time? So that's why I hesitate with this. But on the other hand, I kind of agreed to do this for, you know, with the people who had emailed me, because there's a lot of fun with it as long as you see it as fun. If you want to see it as work, if you want this to be what you do for a living, that is a very, very different energy, you know, as far as making money versus gambling is concerned. There are aspects, Jupiter and Venus aspects, which you can go out and have a great time. And Joyce Wehrman used to talk about this quite a bit. You can go out and have a great time, but you don't necessarily win a lot of money, because Jupiter and Venus, particularly together, are more about socializing, and, you know, they'd win raffles and things like that, and, you know, got picked out by the singer who, you know, the singer comes and throws a scarf on you or whatever, you know, blows you kisses or something, which is wonderful if you're a middle-aged lady, you know, out for the night enjoying yourself and, you know, in a gambling establishment, and that's terrific. But that is not winning money, and the only way to do that that I have seen, and I've seen, you know, people that were fairly successful with it consistently, is that they work this, you know, kind of thing. I would tell you to stay away from alcohol or anything that disturbs your senses, because that will throw you off, as like in any other aspect of life. You certainly don't want to do anything that you don't want to do driving. You know, if it's not safe to do it before you drive or operate heavy machinery, it is certainly doesn't make any sense to do it before you, you know, plunk your money down, kind of thing. Internet gambling, that was, somebody had emailed me about that, and I used to lecture on that. Don't do it. It makes no sense. I mean, if you're going to do fantasy football, that's one thing. But as far as offshore betting through the internet, I wouldn't even, I just couldn't even imagine. It's like, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. You know, I am amazed at how many people who consider themselves spiritual, consider themselves, you know, they're looking for answers, they're looking for a higher form of thought, and they will turn around and all of a sudden there's something which is obviously, you know, as shady as an oak tree. And they'll say, oh, well, that looks nice. You know, it's like, no, 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 no. Stay away from things like that. That doesn't make any sense. Go where you can see people, where you can be there, where there's some accountability. That's where you want to be, you know, kind of thing. It just never, ever, 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 ever bet more than you can afford to lose. And again, that sounds obvious, but I've just seen people just be absolutely goofy with it. On the other hand, you don't want to do just the opposite. And again, I'm thinking about this one lady who actually, she had a trip plan with a group of friends she was going with up here to Atlantic City. And it couldn't have been a better time for her. I mean, a marvelous time, not only for socializing, but for gambling. And she wanted to hit big, you know, as we all do, and that's wonderful. So one of the standards is, if you're going to play the slot machines, play the most public, most visible slot machines, because they pay off better. It behooves the casino for the big wins to be visible, so everybody sees somebody winning big and says, oh, man, this must be a lucky place, you know, I want to go here. So, yeah, the machines in the back will pay off, but they're not going to pay off as large just because they can't get the same amount of publicity, you know, kind of instant publicity. So the machines out front, and they tend to be the more expensive machines also. So what does my astrology buddy do? She goes into the back where it's quiet and is playing essentially nickel slots, dropping nickels in. And she did have a couple of big payoffs. You know, one was $37 and the other was like $42. And she's coming back and she's like, big whoop. And I'm like shaking my head because I'm thinking, well, if you think you only spent 20 cents on this one machine and you got $32, the percentages are pretty darn good there. Huh, wonder what you'd have got if you'd been playing up at a $5 machine where the payoff is so much larger. So that's, you know, again, it's common sense. It's, you know, how are you going to play this? What are you going to do with this? And are you going to be disappointed with whatever you get if it's not, you know, some astronomically absurd, you know, lottery number? Because if you are, then, you know, you can stop right now, because I will tell you that there are other things going on if you can't accept that bit of winning and considering it not enough. You know, because you'll never have enough if that's the way you're thinking. And I'm not, you know, poo-pooing anybody who's particularly listening to this. I'm just saying, in like all aspects of life, gratitude gets you more. But take notes, write them down, and that's the best way to proceed. Notice if you do better in full moons, new moons, quarter moons, you know, kind of thing. Notice if you do better by the sea or if you do better in a different environment. If there are places, I don't care how good your own aspects are, that you never win, then that place in itself is not good for you. Don't, you know, just stay out of it. That's the simplest thing to do. If a place is lucky for you, at least for a while, you know, keep going back to that place. I will tell you that I have, there's a couple places in Williamsburg that are very lucky for me as far as scratch tickets are concerned. Every time I go there, you know, I do better than break even. And it may not be much, you know, it might be enough for my family and I to go to dinner, but that's okay. You know, I enjoy that. So, I always make a point of stopping at those two places. I don't win every single time, but most of the time I do. And that is reason enough to, swing by there. Write that stuff down. That's the only way you're going to remember it. Okay, unless anyone has any questions on that, I am done with the gambling for right now. I want to move on to Mars. And again, Mars, you'll be hearing so much about Mars, our friend Mars, for the next couple of months. By now, everyone should have realized there is an area of your life that is more energized than others. Now, you may feel like you are in a stalling pattern or that you're almost spinning in one spot. Our guest last week, where Mars is transiting in his seventh house, he is a sidereal Sagittarius rising. Okay, so Mars is in his seventh house, and he is, you know, wanting to go out, wanting to go do stuff is where the other planets are, transiting planets, you know, are indicating travel. He wants to get out and he wants to meet new people and specifically, you know, new ideas, new prospects, for all kinds of things. And if it was a normal, you know, Mars was speeding through, you know, 6 weeks through a constellation, if it was a normal time like that, he would have already done that. Because Mars is moving so slow, and this is such a large undertaking, so some area in your life is going to be affected for 6 whole months. He's had these, you know, things that would come up and stop him from doing this, or get, you know, obstacles he has to get over. And he did just sell the one piece of property, which was a big stumbling block. Okay, so now that's sold, and he's getting ready to go. And part of him is just kind of stuck with, I want to go. Do I really want to go? Do I want to go? Yes, I want to go. And I know everyone out there has got this area of their life where they may not saying, do I really want this? They're saying, yes, I do want this, but daggone it, I'm focusing on something else, or something else is coming up and interrupting me. It's, I hate to say cosmic tests. It's just kind of one of those things where you are given the opportunity. That sounds so polite when you say that. You are given the opportunity to state what you want. Make it a goal. Make it and state it. And keep focused on that. And if you really want that, you will stay focused on that. And you will keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on until finally you are very successful at whatever this is. It is a long time to be concentrating your energy in one area unless you have a goal. If you've got a goal, these 6 months just zip by. Absolutely. It started in September. It'll be over April 28th. If you have a specific goal in mind for a specific area of your life, wherever Mars is affecting right now, and even without knowing astrology, most of you will have an idea that you want to do something. If you keep that ever present, then this time will just go boom, 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 and you will accomplish things during this time period. If you are kind of like willy-nilly and I'm not really sure and, you know, kind of backstepping back and forth, then it's going to be 6 months of just absolute frustration. And looking back at it, it'll be like, daggone it, why didn't I do that? I said I wanted to do that. Oh, and then all the excuses. You know, why did that happen? You know, and this helped me up, and this kept me from doing that. And, you know, you couldn't find the breakthrough somewhere. And the breakthrough is simple goal setting. It's like being very clear and very focused about what you want to do. Mars is very much all about that energy. It's the energy of separation. And what you're separating from is stuff that impede you from getting somewhere. You know, you separate the wheat from the chaff. You get rid of all that stuff that is not usable, that stuff is not needed anymore. It is all about that type of separation. And it allows you to do what you want to do, which is a wonderful thing to have happen. So that is, again, it's Mars, and it's masculine, and it's energetic, and as long as he's direct, you know, you can make great strides. As soon as he goes retrograde, which is happening next month, then you've got to go back and redo some of those steps, and it's not a bad thing, but it's just something that has to be done that, you know, you just kind of wish, if I had made a little bit more progress. But that's okay. That's all right. People do that. Okay, if anyone has any questions, you can call in on 877-876-5227. If not, I'm going to go back on, finish answering some emails that came in at the latter part of last week. One of it was interesting enough about Laura Bush, who... the first lady, who apparently made the news, I did not read all of it, made the news about she was upset at some sort of foreign leader for not standing by her husband or something. And, you know, it's a good wife would do that. Looking at Laura Bush, President Bush's wife, the first lady of America, she was born November 4th, 1946. We have a 6 p.m. time. Ooh, that scares me. I hate those on-the-hour time periods. Midland, Texas. And when she was born, the sun was actually in 18 degrees of Libra. along with Jupiter right there. She's got Mercury, who's about ready to go retrograde, but still there. Mercury is almost to where her Jupiter is. So we will be hearing from her another couple days, and then it'll drop off again as Mercury is going to cross over and connect with her Jupiter, not quite get to her Sun and her S-U-N. She does not have an S-O-N. And it'll come back. But she will, you know, remain, particularly during this the campaign period here for everybody else. You know, she has been out there quite a bit, you know, talking to people behind the scenes, doing her part. Uranus, which is the big thing in her chart, and this is for anyone born around November 4th, 1946, Uranus is sitting directly on her natal moon, transiting Uranus. This has got to be something with her kids. I don't know if her mama's still around, but this is tough for her body. It's tough emotionally. I think the last time this happened, because this is a retrograde, it went over direct a while ago, and now it's retrograding. I think she did have, was it cancer, skin cancer or something? She had some sort of operation, which was kept out of the public as well it should be. There's no reason for it to have been in the public, that, you know, was taken care of. Where her transiting Mars is, interestingly enough, is down in that third house. So it's all about community. It's all about, you know, in her case, keeping the troops together, the core together, Republicans together, almost pressing the flesh as much as her husband has to do. Just to be out there and, you know, making sure everybody is playing nice in her arena as best as she possibly can, and separating the ones that are not out, or not. Essentially, I was thinking putting them in a timeout, including political leaders that are not doing as her husband would have them do. So that's, it's a tough job. And again, when you hear me talk about politics, it almost, I certainly do have fairly strong political views, but from an astrologer's viewpoint and from a very human viewpoint, it does not matter to me, you know, which party you say that you are or are not. You know, if you're in a certain position, and particularly if you're president of the United States, I mean, as your chart goes, so does the country. So I certainly hope for the best for anybody. And I am certainly sympathetic for a, you know, any first lady or first gentleman when we have one that walks a very fine line of having to support, you know, their husband, having all these other duties, which are basic social duties that have to be met with grace and dignity, and in her case, trying to raise two children. So that's, you know, just from a very human standpoint. Yes, I think, is that a caller?
Hi.
Hi there. What's your name, dear?
Bonnie.
Bonnie?
Yes, and can you tell me what's going on in the next 6 months?
Yes, as according to your life, I sure can. Can you give me your birth date?
8/1/48.
Do you know the time of your birth?
9:30.
A.M. or P.M.?
A.M.
A.M. and place?
Stockton, California.
Okay. There you go. All right. First of all, Bonnie, when you were born on August 1st, is that it?
Yes, that's correct.
August 1st, okay, 1948, but August 1st of any year, the sun was still in Cancer. It was in 16 degrees of Cancer. And you actually had four things in Cancer. You had Mercury, the part of fortune, the sun, and Pluto there. With this birth time, I'm giving you a Leo rising. Does that make sense as far as...
I think it's Virgo rising, isn't it? No?
Well, that probably you are as far as tropical astrology is concerned.
Oh,
yeah, we speak sidereal here, which is the same as the Vedic still.
Oh.
So when you were born, if someone looked out over the horizon and could see the constellations rising, which of course they couldn't because the sun was up at that time, being you've got a morning birth, 25 degrees of Leo actually would have been rising.
Okay.
That would have been rising. That's it's Vedic. It uses the same constellation, the same zodiac that the Vedics do. And so what I would tell you for the next 6 months, you've got where Mars is and where it started in September and will be going through to April 28th, you're simply reaping the rewards or any consequences, if those are there, of your behaviors for the last, essentially probably year at this point. So people will remember the good things that you've done, and they will get hold of you. They'll recommend you. Your name will be passed along. I wouldn't be surprised if you actually got an award of some kind. If you've got any taxes that are late, unfortunately, the government will come in and say, hey, remember us. If you just fell in love with somebody or something, I don't know if you just started a new project or a new... Because it's so funny, because sometimes I'll talk about people falling in love, and they'll say, oh, well, I just found this new craft that I love to do, or this new hobby, or this new place that I love this place. That's going to be in your life for a very long time.
I just received an early retirement package, but I'm really too young to retire.
Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah.
So I need to do something else, and I'm just kind of feeling my way right now, just be doing my kitchen, so after that I can, I guess, look to pursue more of my hobbies or interests or,
Oh, absolutely. Tell you what, after Thanksgiving of this year and going for about 13 months after that, you are going to be, it's very much going to be about hobbies and arts and immersing yourself and actually I call it the spices of life. It's like, yes, we have to do all these things for a living, but this is the stuff that makes life worth living.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, no. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you'll have people that will be, just involved with that. You'll have such a good time with that.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, no. People don't retire anymore. They just switch occupations.
Yes.
Which is not necessarily a job, but it's not you switch occupations.
Yes, this gives me an opportunity to do something that I really love.
Yeah, and I can see you probably, stuff, if you work with your hands, it's just in with real stuff, either real wood, real fabric, real stuff, and you'll have a great time with that, which is good.
Do you see healing in there?
Do I see what?
Healing, working with healing.
Oh, what fun. If I heard you correctly, you said sailing?
Healing. H-E-A-L-I-N-G.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking sail. I was thinking, no, by the ocean. I could definitely see you by the ocean.
Oh, I love the ocean, too.
That's it. That would be a perfect place for you to be. Okay, if you've had, over the last almost 12 years, inconsistent things with your health, or with doctors saying, we think it's this one thing and then it turns out to be something else, to where you get, and the illnesses would almost be categorized themselves as mysterious. You're going along fine, all of a sudden you're sick, and then you're not sick anymore. And it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is one reason I do sidereal astrology and I use whole signs, because 12 years ago, Neptune got into your sixth house. It will be out next spring for a little while. It'll go back, and then it'll be out in 2009, and it'll be gone. It'll be completely gone. And it'll be funny. It's like you'll be almost like, what was that about? I just had 14 really kind of weird years health-wise, to where sometimes the cure was almost worse than, what I thought I was suffering from. So, no, I could very easily see, a lot of that stuff, whatever it has been, clearing up, and all of a sudden it'll be like nothing was ever wrong.
Mm.
Which would be kind of nice.
That's
kind of a nice change, because that's, with other people that this happened, it's funny, because it starts out subtle. Doesn't start out obvious. People will be like, as healthy for as long as they can remember, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, I'm not, and I don't know what it is. But, yeah, 14 years is a long time to have to deal with anything like that. You know, the blink of an eye, you know, in a long lifetime. But while you're in the middle of it, it's just annoying beyond belief.
Mm.
So.
Well, I feel like I'm getting healthier and healthier.
Well, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think I will go into anything in the healing realm in as of occupation or hobby?
If you want to, I would see something, you know, actually you'd be terrific at the, and I don't know where your location is or what's around you, but like therapeutic horseback riding.
Really?
Because it does heal people.
Oh.
It really does. I know there it's a big thing in the area that I'm in, where they take people who have all kinds of physical difficulties and even emotional difficulties.
Mm.
And they literally teach them to ride horses. And there is some sort of this incredible magic that happens between a human and, you know, the rider and the horse. And they not only emotionally, the ones who have emotional problems heal, the ones with physical problems get stronger.
Well, I've never heard of that.
It is amazing thing they do. Like if you want to look on the web, I think it's called Therapeutic Horseback Riding Society. I mean, it's as simple as that, Therapeutic Horseback Riding Society. And even people who've had shattered bones, and you think that's the last thing they need to do is get on a horse.
Yeah.
But it isn't. It's some incredible magic that happens between, you know, man and animal. They get on and their muscles get stronger as, you know, they have to sit up straight, and they have to, you know, put pressure, you know, grip the horse. And as the horse goes moving, which is a natural rhythm, and they adjust to it. But, no, I can easily see you doing something that's physical, and you're thinking, I don't know if I'm in the mood for that. But, you know, I was like, this lady has no idea what I've gone through. But I can see your chart, and I can see that you have your natural affinity not only with animals, but with large animals.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I've never had a pet, but I've been drawn to the dog whisperer to watch that.
Oh, yeah.
And listen to his CDs, and it's been fascinating to learn about, you know, animals and how they exist and how they mirror their owner's behaviors. And that's been very fascinating.
Oh, I don't know what you've done in this lifetime, but, I mean, you're certainly not too old to start, but you could have an entire career working with animals.
Really?
You have got, and this, again, this is one reason I do sidereal instead of tropical astrologer, being a tropical astrologer, which I was for 15 years. It's not just like I started out like this and said, this is the best. I switched. I said, okay, this is not working quite as the way I would like it to. But with your four planets in the 12th house, it's very much not just animals, but larger animals, so larger dogs. And it's a natural affinity with them.
Wow.
And it just, you would, I just can't even imagine that you have never owned an animal with this, but you're, you know, you're certainly drawn to them.
Fish. Fish in a bowl.
Well, that's, fish are nice, but, you know, not quite the same. And fish are good. I mean, I actually, when we have a fish tank here, they're very relaxing, you know. But you can't really hang out with them and talk to them the same way.
No, you can't.
You know, they go on the good side. When it's cold outside, I don't have to walk my fish. I got to walk the dog. But
right.
And that's okay, too. But, no, I think, and if that is something... That is certainly, there's certainly people that work, animals, that, companion animals that go into hospitals and go into, nursing homes and whatever and help, heal the sick just by being around these animals.
Oh.
And people just come alive. They do. We have several programs I know in this area, and there's a couple dogs that I know that are in the program that they go down to, was it Sunrise Village or whatever it's called. There's several of them around here. And they go once a week and they visit, you know, all the elderly people that cannot have pets there. And these are people that are, they're not particularly mobile. They have to be in an assisted living, you know, facility. And their lives are improved so much because of this.
Oh, that's good to
Yeah, so I mean, I'm looking at this chart of this woman. You've got all this innate talent, and maybe now it's time to use it or start thinking about what you want to do and how you can use it. If you've already started, you know, with getting his CDs and whatnot, that may be a direction to go in.
Mm. Well, I also have done numerology, studied numerology, and I've also done, NLP and hypnosis. And so I kind of probably scattered my energies in many directions. So I guess I just really need to focus on what it is that I should be doing. You know, I've always had an interest in healing also. So it's just kind of finding the right space.
I would say, think about it, pick one, and go with that.
Okay.
And see what happens as you focus.
Okay.
Yeah, you're having what's called this whole year, but certainly as we get closer to November, also it's called a Jupiter return, and that happens every essentially 12 years. That's the general cycle in people's lives. And what will get people with this is they get so many opportunities. Everything expands, and normally our hip sizes do too, but that's another story. But but so much expands, and we have trouble choosing. And
yeah.
It's like, so particularly with this Mars thing that I was talking about, with it just, what it is, you just pick one thing, two at the most, and say, all right, I'm going to accomplish these things. These are my goals. And once you do that, other stuff will fall away, and you'll be less distracted, and you'll be able to go do that.
Well, that's good. And Jupiter returns last for how long?
A Jupiter return, I generally give it the full year that Jupiter is in, and how I do astrology, again, I'm a sidereal astrologer. I give it the year that Jupiter is in that constellation. So if Jupiter is in the beginning, if you were born with it at the beginning of the constellation or at the end of the constellation, I would still give it the same year. But when it's within 10 degrees of your natal Jupiter, and that's for about 2 months, I like a good gardening orb. I think it's stronger, but it's so I give it that year, and people look back and it's like, well, yeah, when I first heard of that idea, when I first was introduced to that idea, and by the time things started happening, really took off, it's usually about a year's time period.
Do you have a web page?
I sure do. I have two actually. I have mybirthchart.com. That's mybirthchart.com. And I do free weekly sidereal horoscopes on there that are updated every Friday, as well as, prices of everything that I do. And I also have searchbythestars.com, and that is dedicated to my book, Gift Giving by the Stars. And you can find the perfect gift for absolutely anybody on that one.
Oh, fun. Great. Thank you so very, very much.
Well, thanks for calling in, Bonnie. I appreciate it.
Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, we are almost at the end of our 55 minutes here. So what was that last that I wanted to mention, the email? I get a lot. I know not from particularly California, but I do get a lot of emails from the East Coast here about politics because, yes, that's what we are seriously interested in. So much the economy around here is dependent on that, and as the politicians come and go in Washington, you have these entire waves of people that come and go with it. Let me do this very, very quickly. We just looked at Laura Bush's chart, so we'll look at George W's. He was born July 6, of course, 1946, 7:26 a.m. in New Haven, Connecticut. And again, Mars is that transiting Mars is in his 12th house. And that is often hospitals or people that he knows that's close to him going to a hospital. So with that Uranus on his wife's chart, Uranus on her moon, that does not make me happy. I just, like I said, I don't wish anybody ill. And I know as you get older, things happen, but I'm putting it on our prayer list here. All right, time is up. Thank you all for tuning in to Deb's the Horoscope Lady. Please look at my website every week, mybirthchart.com, for free weekly horoscopes, and that will also be on the BBS store that's getting ready to open up, Sidereal Horoscopes. Bye now.